So, without further ado, I'm out of breath for some reason. That's better. Okay, so we are continuing our series, The Family Effect, which is going through our four vision statements about family. And over the last 3 weeks, we talked about family worship, family teaching, and family service. And each week, we've interviewed a leader from the church. And this week, we are talking about family missions. And we are interviewing George Muller. George, why don't you come on up? George is one of the elders here in the church. And not because of his age, because of his spiritual maturity. How did I do? Was that okay? All right. Well, specifically family missions, it's really hard to get up there. I just wanted you to know. Oh, yeah, she's getting the microphone. Family missions is about the effect of being on mission together. So I'm just curious, before we get started with George, when you hear the term missions, what do you think of? Somebody calls something out. Going overseas, travel, outreach, good. What'd you say? African jungle, yeah. Is God really going to call me to Africa? Is God really going to call me to Indonesia or wherever it might be? Yeah, usually we think of missions, we think of overseas or the foreign mission field. When in reality, missions is so much more than that, and we're going to talk about that. It certainly includes that, and I don't want to say that it doesn't. One thing that I've learned over the years is that particularly our missionaries in foreign fields have less of a platform, at least locally, than any local mission or anything that we can do or hear about, because we're here locally and people can share about what's going on. Both are important, but we want to make sure that we understand when we talk about being on mission together, it's not just going on a mission trip, although, again, want to put a shameless plug in that we will be meeting about a mission trip going to Haiti directly after the service. But the effect of being on mission together is really what I'm going to be interviewing George about today. Dun, dun, dun. Okay, so we're going to start with a scripture very familiar to most of us. And I chose the New Living Translation to talk about it this morning to read from, simply because it's everyday language, and maybe we can gain something from that this morning. Matthew 28, beginning with verse 18. Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations." First, it starts with his power and his authority, and that he has all of it. And then he's now telling us through that authority, through that power, to go and make disciples of all the nations, which includes next door, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. Usually when we think of this, when we think of the Great Commission, we think of, I must be evangelistic. Does it include evangelism? Absolutely, most certainly. However, he's not telling us to make new converts. He's telling us to make new disciples. And part of the discipleship is that they would obey all of the commands that he's given us. And so we don't throw away the commands. We don't throw away, if you will, the law of God. We channel it through the love of Christ, through the grace of Christ, which comes through his authority and power. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. If I would paraphrase that, the first part, the part that most of us know, most of us can quote, go therefore and make disciples. If I was to paraphrase it, I could say, as you go, make disciples. Do you notice how just a little bit of a shift in the English language changes things for us? Instead of, I want you to go and make disciples, I really believe in the Greek, what Jesus is saying is, as you go, make disciples. That the power is in the making disciples rather than the going. Though we must go, certainly, but he places it in such a way in the Greek that he is saying, I'm already presupposing that you are going. And so as you go, make disciples. So George, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, when you think about mission and being missional, I'm reminded of a TV show that I used to love when I was younger. It was called Mission Impossible. And you remember the show always started with your mission, Mr. Phelps, if you choose to accept it, is to do this, this, and this. And
It'll self-destruct.
It'll self-destruct in 3 seconds or whatever. I think when you talk about missions, you're talking about intentionality. You have to make a decision. Being missional is just part of who you are. It's not something you take on new and additional to your normal daily routine. It's who you are. You are a missional human being. Mm-hmm. There's a special focus to that. And I think one of the things that you find as you read the Bible and you read about Jesus and the way he lived his life on earth, he was aware that the world is broken.
Yeah.
And that's something that you and I need to keep conscious of. Everyone here comes out of a broken world. There is brokenness in your own personal experience at some point. That's just part of being human. And Jesus had a sensitivity to that. And he had a way of reaching out and touching people where their hurt was, where their damage was, and bringing wholeness to it. He offered forgiveness for whatever past experiences you've had. He offered acceptance of a loving God today, and he offered an open future for everyone he encountered. And I think that's, in essence, that's our mission. If we can get, that's the good news. If we can get that word out to everyone we encounter, then we're being missional people.
Absolutely. It's good. What I heard is being missional is who you are rather than what you do.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. So do you have any examples of what it means to be as you go missional people? What are some specific examples of how we can do that?
Well, I can relate to an experience I had this week. I was at the bank, and I was in front of one teller, and next to me, I overheard a conversation with an elderly lady and one of the bank officers. And this lady was explaining to her some issues about her house. Her roof was leaking. The foundation was settled in such a way that she was afraid her refrigerator was going to fall over in the kitchen. Wow. You know, her house had some serious issues. And I heard the bank officer say, well, you know, probably the first thing you better deal with is the roof. Because if your roof is leaking, then, you know, eventually your whole house pretty much falls apart. So after the bank officer left, I gave her a card. I'm a roofing contractor and a general contractor. I just introduced myself, and she was so grateful. And it turned out that this lady recognized my name. My wife was the teacher of her granddaughter, and she just dearly loves Elaine, and the whole family does. Mm-hmm. And it turns out this lady, I went to see her later and gave her an estimate on the roof and so forth, and we're going to find some ways to help her solve her problem. She doesn't have a lot of money, you know. Mm-hmm. She's living on a fixed income, and so part of being sensitive to what was going on in her life, I feel like I was able to make connection with her. I think we're going to be able to help her through various means of getting a roof and do the foundation work. But that was just an example of, you know, taking a little extra step and introducing myself to someone, much like Jesus did to Zacchaeus.
Yep. Well, let's talk about what Jesus did to Zacchaeus. If you guys will turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 19. And as you're turning there, I want to reiterate something that George said is connection. The word he used was connection. He made a connection with that woman. And truly, that's what it is to be missional, is to make connections. That's what Jesus did with Zacchaeus, we're about to read. That's what Jesus did with everyone, was making a connection. And sometimes we feel like we are not in the process of making a disciple unless they repeat the sinner's prayer. And I'm not belittling the sinner's prayer. I'm not belittling that aspect. We do need to bring them to Christ. We do need to bring them to a point of decision. However, we make disciples as we make connections with people. Luke chapter 19, I'm going to read verses 1 through 10. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. Really important. That verse we skip over really, really quickly. I'm going to go back to it. Just remember, he entered Jericho and he was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. Let's get a picture of Zacchaeus. Obviously, he was a short, wee little man, as we just sang, and we kind of get fixated on his stature, and we forget who he was. And for a man especially, what they do has a lot to do with their identity, and most of the time, it's not a good thing. I'm not saying it's a good thing. However, especially in this culture, he was a tax collector. He was more than that. He was a chief tax collector, which meant he oversaw the other tax collectors, and he collected as well from the tax collectors themselves. And so here is a man who was branded a sinner. Here's a man we're going to find out did steal, so he was certainly a sinner, more than just the stance of we're all sinners and fall short of the glory of God. So here was this man, and Jesus saw his excitement. Jesus saw that he wanted to see Jesus so much that he climbed a sycamore tree, something that was beneath him. He was a man, pardon the pun, of great stature, though he was short in the community, but yet he climbed a tree just to see Jesus. Verse 5, when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. Jesus invited himself over. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to the guest of a sinner. We focus on Zacchaeus, and probably well we should, but Jesus also not only was reaching Zacchaeus, he knew his reputation. He knew what everybody else around him would be thinking. So in reaching Zacchaeus, he was also reaching out to everyone else that was an onlooker. Verse 8, but Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that what was lost. Before I ask George, sorry, I keep going on and on. I'm interviewing him, I promise. Verse 1 is so key, and so I want us to focus back on verse 1. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. In reality, Jesus was passing through. This was not his destination. He did not plan to meet Zacchaeus. He did not plan even to stay in Jericho. He was passing through. Where was he going? We find out from the chapter before that he was on his way to Jerusalem to be crucified. So just think of all of us and our busy schedules and what we have on our agenda, and I can't stop to be with this person because I'm doing this. And imagine the weight of having that. If you're like me, sometimes I don't minister to somebody that God has obviously opened a door of opportunity to because of the weight of the place that I'm going and the thing that I'm going to be doing. Jesus was about to be crucified. I couldn't think of any other weight on somebody. He had a plan. He was going somewhere. He had the destination. But instead, the chapter before, he ministers to a blind man right in the gates of Jericho. And then in Jericho, he ministers to Zacchaeus. So what can we learn from that, George? How can we do likewise?
Well, as I thought about that, I found myself wondering, what would have happened if Jesus hadn't called out to Zacchaeus?
Yeah.
What if he just walked on by and Zacchaeus never changed? I mean, he was there to see Jesus walk by. But if Jesus hadn't called out to him, what would have happened? Nothing. And
yeah.
It's kind of a profound thought that we have an opportunity to be sensitive. I mean, Jesus was sensitive to something in Zacchaeus that made him call out to him and made him say, I'm going to your house tonight.
Yep.
Because I know something about you. You may not even know about yourself. That's the nature of Jesus's reality. He was sensitive to the Spirit. I like to say Jesus turned matter into spirit.
Mm.
Wherever he went, he turned matter into spirit. It was like, what's beneath the surface? What's in the depths of your life? Not just what's on the surface. Yeah, you're a rich tax collector.
Right.
That's not all you are. So I think one thing we can learn is that by reaching out, we can change lives.
Absolutely. I love the question that you posed to us. What would have happened if he didn't call out Zacchaeus, but also the people that were around and noticed that's the house of a sinner. Especially the sinners saying it. Like, wow, he's actually going to eat with them. That means he might spend time with me too. It's good. So I want to read verse 5 again. This is when he says, come down from here. Verse 5, when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So, George, I wanted to ask you, in our context today, can you reword that? In other words, what is Jesus modeling for us?
I think one thing that I see in that text is that Jesus says, don't be judgmental. As you encounter people, don't look at just what's on the surface.
Hmm.
Look beneath the surface.
That's good.
And no one is beyond the grace of God. Don't give up on anyone.
Amen.
And just because someone has bad habits, someone has shortcomings, someone is even unpleasant to be around, you don't give up on them. It's part of what we're called to do. Be sensitive to what others are going through. As I said earlier, we live in a broken world. Everyone has brokenness in their life at some point. And that what we're called to do as missional people is to offer hope,
yeah,
wholeness, and forgiveness.
Amen. Amen. He entered his life. So because Jesus entered his life, how do we know that Zacchaeus' life was changed from this passage of Scripture?
From the text, it says, I've changed. It says, I've repented. I gave half of my possessions to the poor. I've given fourfold to anyone that I've cheated. He took an action. He changed his life. That's what true repentance is. It's not just saying, I'm sorry. It's doing something about it.
That's good. Man, I'm continuing to go back to what you posited, the question. If Jesus didn't call him down, what would have happened? And so Zacchaeus changed this dramatically. We'd have to believe that he would continue to do what he was doing, continue to cheat, continue to steal. It's pretty evident that he was stealing because he said he's going to give back fourfold if I stole anything, when in fact that was the law. If you were caught stealing, you have to give back fourfold. So he basically was admitting he was a stealer. He was admitting he was a thief, not a Steeler fan. He was a thief.
Right.
Okay, I want to read a quote to you from Paul Tripp and get your reaction to it. Paul Tripp says, the fact of the matter is mission is my schedule. It's not one more thing to add to my schedule. So what are your thoughts on that? How can we apply this to our lives?
I've come to know a young lady by the name of Stacy Richter. She is a mother, not well-to-do particularly. She's simply As a matter of fact, I think right now unemployed. But she has started an organization called Stand Up to Stand Out. And she has gathered together a group of mostly ladies, but a group of people. I believe the number is somewhere between 80 and 100 right now, who are a part of Stand Up, Stand Out. And they become a community of people who simply respond to the need of other people. If they hear about someone needing some help with their rent, they've got a circle of people they call around, and people contribute. Somehow they manage to help that person. If someone needs a ride to a doctor's appointment, there's someone who, out of that 80 to 100 people, who's willing to help them. It's kind of an amazing association of people who've come gathered together simply to be related to their community in that kind of a special way of caring. And that's, to me, that's just becomes who they are.
Right.
And that's who we are called to be.
Rather than what we do. So again, going off of this, he said that he has realized that mission is his schedule rather than something he adds to it. Kind of going off script right now. How do we do that? And not just how do we do that, what does that look like in our life? Because if you're like me, if all of you were like me, there's times where I think of, okay, I'm at work, and when I get off of work, and whatever's planned, let's say an outreach is planned, then I'm going to go and do ministry, right? I think we all have that mindset of, this is secular, this is something that puts food on my table, whatever it might be, but this is ministry. And I think what he's saying is, no, it doesn't have to be something added on, although we certainly can add on and maybe should add on, but how do we make everything in our schedule mission?
Well, I think we have to be somewhat intentional about that and purposeful. One of the things that we've done recently, we put together these packages for homeless people that you can carry in your car. And I like to keep one in my car or truck all the time. And if I see someone beside the road that has a sign up asking for help or whatever, I can give them that care package. My wife always keeps Subway gift cards in her purse, so that if she finds someone that's hungry, has a need, that she can give them an opportunity to get a free meal. There are things that could just be part of your day. If you're riding someplace, we're busy people, always going somewhere, and you see someone walking carrying a bag of groceries or whatever, you could offer them a ride. You're going in the same direction.
Good.
Things like that can be worked into your schedule just to make it part of who you are and your daily activities. You should also become knowledgeable about the different services that are available, because you can't always necessarily meet people's needs. But
that's right.
It's not hard to find out where there's a local food pantry and what day they're open, or where there's maybe the telephone number of another service. One of the things, how people can get food stamps. If you find someone who's unemployed and in need of food, you can help them with the paperwork necessary to get food stamps, that sort of thing. That just becoming a referral service is a possibility.
Fantastic. I would also add, whatever you already do, using your word, be intentional about it. If you already have to get gas once a week, which I'm sure most of us have to do in our vehicles, go to the same place around the same time to try to build relationships with the people there. If you buy your coffee, try to go to the same place. Your groceries, try to go to the same place. Try to go through the same aisle. It's all about entering someone's life and building a relationship with them and just really being intentional about it. Then it's not one more thing that's added to your schedule. It's making the most of whatever is on your schedule, I think, is really the heart of being missional. Again, going back to Jesus and Zacchaeus, he was on his way to go do something else. Zacchaeus was not on his mind. Well, you could argue Jesus is all-knowing, so he was on his mind. Sure, I'll give you that. But Jesus as the man, fully God, as the man did not have Zacchaeus on his schedule, but he made the most of his schedule, which was going through Jericho. So we're talking about family and being family worship and family teaching and family service, which is very similar to family missions, and they really go hand in hand. But how can we serve in a missional way as a family?
There are a number of examples that I've run across over the years. We had a family in one of the churches that I attended years ago, my family did, and they used to invite the children from Christian Home and Bible School to come to their house on Christmas, and they would spend Christmas Day with their family would spend Christmas Day. They would give presents to the kids, and they would give the staff of Christian Home and Bible School a day off at the same time. But they did this traditionally. We had a young man. One of the first years that my wife taught kindergarten here at that time. She had a student who was a wreck. He was a young boy who was from a difficult home. He didn't have the parenting in his home was not good. He was angry, rebellious, and over a period of time, she developed a plan. She would give him a happy face if he was good for the day, and if he was good for 5 days in a row, then he was able to come spend the weekend with us, and he would spend the weekend in our house with our kids,